Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome into the HenneyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. The final score from FedEx Field in Washington. All Redskins all day. 41-10 is the final score. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. We go to the phone line, Western Florida. Proud of the Jaguars running back. Fred Taylor is with us. Freddie T, it's a tough one today.
You got a better word than tough, man? That was atrocious. There's no positive at all. I don't see where I could even say it was something really positive to try and identify and really talk about, man. It's just terrible to watch.
I agree, Fred. There's really nothing in there. They hit the one big play for the touchdown, but outside of that, I mean, you know, they had the stat up there at one point. You had Washington running 38 plays in Jaguar territory to zero for the Jags in Washington territory. They added to that number as it went on. I don't know if I've seen, with the exception of that one big play, a worse offensive performance from this team in a long time.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was really bad. I mean, just going back, look at the first half stats that I jotted down. Washington had 19 first downs to Jaguars, 4 first downs, and as you mentioned, the amount of plays run. I think when another team can double your output in terms of the amount of plays run, there was Washington 44 and the Jaguars 22 at the half. I mean, that just spells a sign of, you know, you're not getting anything, you're not moving chains on offense, and your defense is going to suffer. You know, they're going to be tired, they're going to be gassed, and eventually a lot of big plays, a lot of chunks, as we saw throughout the game, are going to take place. So that's what happened.
Fred Taylor is with us on the phone line from Western Florida. We're awaiting head coach Gus Bradley. He's in the locker room. Jeff Loggeman is standing by outside of the locker room at FedEx Field. We'll have the first word with head coach Gus Bradley coming up. This run game today, Fred, was non-existent. Chad Henne led the way. 3 rushes, 17 yards. Gerhardt, 7 carries for 8 yards. What happened to the run game today, Fred?
Yeah, Washington happened to the run game. Those guys, it was really a tale of the offensive line versus their defensive line and vice versa. Our defensive line versus their offensive line. I mean, I think we got outplayed on both sides. I don't want to go too far and just say out physical, but you know what I will. We got out physical, man. They came to play, you know, and we gave up 100-plus rushing yards, 192 or something like that. We gave up, and we were only able to carve out 25. And the quarterback, who's not known for speed, to have his long of 12, and your running back only have a long of 3, those stats, you're not going to win any ball games. You just have to be honest. You're not going to do anything. We got to play better up front.
Yeah, Fred, excuse me. A lot of negatives here, but, I mean, you look at what got set up here in the early part of this football game. Robert Griffin III, who came out looking pretty good, gets hurt. He's gone for the day. DeSean Jackson goes out. He's gone for the day. Pierre Garçon doesn't really even have much of a look coming his way in the first half, despite the 3 biggest playmakers, with the exception of Alfred Morris, really not being involved at all. They're still able to roll. I mean, that to me is as disturbing as anything.
Now you go and you look at, you know, even Jordan Reed being out. You know, you go and look at Niles Paul. I think he finished 8 with 99 and a touchdown. You know, when you have a team that can just input guys in there and not really miss a beat, you know, I think we would have done better had RG3 stayed in the game. Cousins came in the game, and he was on point, man. He's still hot. So, I mean, it was just one of those days, and, you know, we have to go back to the drawing board and try to find a way to get it done. There's nothing else really to say about it. You want to hurry and get this one out of your mind as quick as possible. You're playing a divisional opponent, and the coach coming in, and you're back home in front of your team. You want to find a way to, you know, just to try and get yourself motivated, try and get a win, because today was terrible.
You know, we're going to hear from Gus Bradley coming up here, Fred. But what do you do if you're the coach on a team that, that misfired in every phase of the game, offense, defense, special teams? Where do you begin, or do you do the old, let's just throw that tape away? How do you learn from this and get better in time to play Indianapolis next week?
You know, everyone's going to be held accountable. You know, and Gus Bradley's one thing I've learned about him, you know, in our time knowing each other is that, you know, he's going to stand up. He's going to accept the responsibility, you know, as he should, and he's going to get back to work. You know, Gus, I'm sure on his interview he'll come up and just say things didn't go our way today, but we're going to get back to the drawing board, and we're going to stay the course. You know, he's going to coach as he knows how. You know, you really can't get fancy right now. I mean, what do you do? Your guys are who you have, so you just have to go out there and you continue to the foundation that you worked throughout the entire preseason. You want to do that, but you want to get better at it. You know, sometimes guys have to have a greater sense of urgency in their every rep. You know, guys are going to look at the tape again, as I mentioned in the pregame show. Guys have to look at the tape and say, how can I hustle harder to try and put myself in a better position where I can make a play? We didn't make any plays today. We gave up a lot of chunks, a lot of big plays, and that's what hurt us.
Let's go to FedEx Field in Washington. Jeff Lagerman standing by with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, certainly disappointed in your team's performance. What do you say to him after a game like that?
Well, you're right. We didn't perform very well, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise, and that's disappointing. You know, it was a collective effort. We're going to have to regroup. I told him, I said, you know, we got to use this pain and turn these wounds into wisdom, and we've got to grow up. And, you know, we've got to play more disciplined football. When we do, we realize we're pretty good. And when we don't, we can not look good.
I remember reading and listening to one of your quotes in the preseason where something bad had happened. You said, you know, you don't want to overreact, but you want to react. Do you have a reaction this week coming up with performances as far as changing lineups or what have you?
Well, we have to take a strong look at it. I mean, we gave up, 10 explosive plays on defense. We gave up 10 sacks on offense. And, you know, collectively, I'm sure it's not just one guy. And so we need to take a look at it, analyze it, and then make decisions that are best for our team. And we got to make these corrections, and we got to make them fast.
As a team, I mean, I don't want to say that this is a positive, but everybody that looks in the mirror can take part in this, can't they?
You sure can. I mean, it's everybody, and that's what I told the team. It's not just one phase, all three phases. We got to do a better job coaching. I mean, we all take ownership in this. And, you know, it hurts. It hurts when you have a loss like this. But we'll regroup. I like our guys' resiliency. You know, I'm sure when I get a chance to visit with them in the locker room, you know, they'll have their feelings as well.
Injuries, Mercedes left with an ankle. Just a few minutes ago, I saw Alan Hearns on a golf cart. He reportedly has an ankle. Anything to let folks know about how they are?
Well, I guess the Mercedes has a high ankle sprain. That we do know. Alan Hearns, he's getting an x-ray right now. So we'll find out more information in the next half hour or so.
All right. Thank you, Gus.
Okay. Thank you.
Jeff, thanks a lot. Jeff with head coach Gus Bradley at FedEx Field. When we come back, Jeff Lagerman in the Jags locker room. We'll try to find an MVP of this game as well. Tough one today. Well, tough doesn't begin to describe it. 41-10, all Redskins all day over the Jaguars. And more Jaguars postgame after these words on Jaguars Radio. Final score from FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. 41-10, the Redskins over the Jaguars. Jaguars postgame continues. At Geico, you have a choice of ways you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. We go back to FedEx Field. Jeff Lagerman has Senderic Marks. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Senderic, a game that I'm sure that you guys would like to have a kind of a do-over on. This is a game that kind of surprised me in that it seemed like the Redskins were able to win the battle on both sides of the ball up front.
Oh, yeah. You know, it just seemed like they came out ready to play, and it seemed like we didn't. You know, I guess we didn't execute. We didn't do, you know, nothing that we planned to do. And, you know, nobody on this team can take any responsibility for any individual job they did if they think they did good. You know, overall as a team, we did bad. We didn't play good, period.
Where do you go from here?
we have no choice but to go back and watch the film and see exactly what happened. You know, everybody has to look at themselves and point the finger to themselves and see, you know, what can I do to help this team get better? You know, no one man individual can do anything to make this team better. So we all have to find a way to see what we can do within, you know, the offense or within the defense to make that side of the ball that much more better. So that's all we can do. Just go back and point the finger at ourselves and see what we can do to make this team better.
All right, thank you, Sundarik.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot. Jeff Logan with Sundarik Marks at FedEx Field. We'll see if we get back up there. Hey, Fred, your reaction? It sounds like a lot about what you said earlier at the top of the broadcast here. Got to go back, kind of look at yourself in the mirror and see what you can do better to help the team.
Yeah, man, it's, you know, as a player, you know, obviously everyone's hurting right now. I can hear it in Sundarik's voice right now, man. So I applaud him for, you know, it's tough to do those interviews after the game, especially when you, you know, as a defense, you know, you're expected to, you know, be stout and be physical up front, not to give up 41 points, you know, and you haven't just given up 34 the week before. So that, it doesn't really say a lot about you, but, you know, guys are going to be men. The NFL is a league of men. So you have to go out there and you have to own up to it, you know, and you have to make sure your teammates, they're going to expect you to do certain things. So you want to go back to the drawing boards, be held accountable. Each guy should feel that way right now. And you want to go out there and do the best you can do.
Let's go back to FedEx Field. Jeff Lagerman has quarterback Chad Henne. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Chad, how disappointing is a day like today?
Yeah, it's just tough because we didn't really get anything started on offense. Didn't really accomplish what we wanted to do. And, you know, got it beaten. And that's all you can say to it and just evaluate it. You know, there wasn't much good, but we just got to pick out the good and learn from the bad.
As the starting quarterback, leader of this football team, captain of this football team, starting tomorrow, it's a day to get better. What do you do to help make that happen?
Well, we just got to look at ourselves in the mirror and, you know, point our finger at our own self. Can't point it on anybody else. Individually, we need to get better. As a team, we need to get better. And it starts with, you know, you as an individual.
All right. Thank you, Chad.
Thanks.
All right, Jeff. Thanks a lot. Jeff in the Jaguars locker room at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. 41-10 final score. Hey, let's choose an MVP of the game here, guys. Mike, Fred, you know, let's start with you. MVP of the game, you got to pick one.
The only one bright spot, unfortunately, he got a high ankle sprain. I feel bad for Mercedes, man. So I got to go with Mercedes. Really, the only one big play, that's it. That's all I saw.
Mike?
I agree. I mean, explosive play, got the ball in the end zone. Allen Robinson had a decent stat line for his second game in the NFL, 4 catches for 75, but Mercedes is the MVP.
He had the 63-yard touchdown. He is the MVP of this game today. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. When we return, more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey, the Bud Light play of the game coming up a little bit later. 41-10, the final score in Week 2. Redskins over the Jaguars. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on Jaguars postgame, brought to you by Beard Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Jags far from exceptional today. 41-10, the final score. The Redskins over the Jaguars at FedEx Field in Week 2. The Jags fall to 0-2. The Redskins are 1-1. It is time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor. You ready, Fred?
Let's do this, man.
All right. Number one, how do you get the run game going? What's the biggest disappointment about it?
The fact that it doesn't exist right now. I mean, but you have to keep grinding. You know, we shuffled the offensive linemen throughout the preseason, and they're still gelling together. You know, at least that's what I'm going to say about it. But we have to try and find that continuity. And the only way that can work is keep on going for it. Keep taking your chances at it.
Fred, number two, on a day where nothing really went right for this football team, is the inability to stop the run or even really slow it down the biggest disappointment of all here?
You know what? We saw all preseason that these guys could get after the passer. You know, we thought the run-stop defense would be better, but that's where it starts, man. You want to stop the run first and then get after the pass after the quarterback next. So it's a big disappointment, but I'm sure Gus, he'll get those guys in there. And they'll clean that up. A few guys out of alignment here or there, but they're going to shore that up.
And finally, is that it for Chad Henne? Do they make the change next week, Fred?
I don't think so. You know, Henne had played. He's protected the football. You have to give him credit for something. He's protected the football. We hadn't had any big plays as a group. I think a lot of that comes with getting the running game going, then allowing us to get deep in our playbook, play actions, outside the pocket, bootleg passes. So he's protected the ball. So that's what you want from the quarterback.
All right, those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game from Fred Taylor. A couple quick stats here in this game, Fred, and it's not pretty. Total yards, 449 to 148. Rushing yards, 191 to 25. Sacks, of course. 10 sacks is a new franchise record allowed, by the way. And this offensive line's got to find something next week. It's got to get better.
You got the Colts coming in. The Colts have always been known for getting after the quarterback, and they're not going to hold up on any. They're not going to let up. They're going to come in there and try and outdo what the Washington did today. So the offensive line got to go and take a really good look in the mirror at them. So as we noticed from Sundarek's interview as well as Chad's interview, that's going to be the theme going into this week. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. So the linemen, they have to look in the mirror, and they're going to have to either dislike what they see and get nasty about it and go out there and block and protect the quarterback.
Fred, you know, the big talking point this week is going to continue to be the quarterback position. And as you said, you don't think the switch will be made. Gus Pratt, we would ask him.
No, I don't think.
Yeah, and Gus said he'll take a strong look at lineup changes. He didn't speak specifically to the quarterback position. But when the best thing you can say about your quarterback is that he's not turning it over, but you're still getting blown out, I mean, how long will that hold water in the locker room before they want to see a guy who maybe can bring some more playmaking, even if he is turning it over a little bit more?
Well, the fact that he isn't turning the ball over and he is protecting it, you know, football is a game of field position. It's a chess match. No, everybody has to do their part. The defense, you've given up 34 and 41. What do you expect your quarterback to do? He's not putting you in those bad situations. The offensive lineman, you know, thank God he isn't dead out there today. The guy got sacked 10 times, hurry five, and knocked down another five. So you have to look at the guys around him. I think first, the game is always going to be the foundation of offensive line versus defensive line and vice versa for each ball club. And if we can't get those guys up front doing what they need to do, we won't have a running game. They won't have a passing game because you're going to come out. The first four passes of the game today or the first four plays were passes. So automatically, in my mind, that tells me, you know, the outcome of the game. In Washington, they saw that, and they went after him, and that's how come they end up with 10 sacks. So that, we try to set the tone with opening with four pass plays. It's a little bit unusual, but if that's all you got, that's all you got, because the run game right now is non-existent. But you have to keep grinding and pounding away until something has to give.
Fred, we'll get back with you in just a few minutes. The new SEC Network is now available on Xfinity from Comcast. Get access to live SEC football games, 45 of them you won't see anywhere else. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. All programming subject to availability. Restrictions apply. When we return, the highlights. Not many for the Jags, but for the Redskins today. We'll also have the Bud Light play of the game and a final Everbank stats check. That's all coming up after these words on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues, a 41-10 final. Redskins over the Jags in week two. Help your elementary school student take a photo of their breakfast for a chance to meet the Jags. Tag at Jags Promotions or email contest@jaguars.com by September 19th. Show us what's on your plate, sponsored by Fresh for Florida Kids. Let's get into the highlights from today's game in Washington. All Redskins certainly early. Well, the first drive for Washington was a punt. Jags go three and out, though. It was a Hearns drop on a ball that should have been caught. Probably could have been a touchdown. Ensuing drive, though, Robert Griffin III hurt on a play on a rollout to the right, a completed pass, turned that ankle, and the reports are a dislocated ankle. Cousins comes in off the bench, completes the drive with a 20-yard touchdown pass. He finds Young for the score.
Four receiver set, straight drop for Cousins. Looks, fires it out to the right side, got a man wide open. That is going to be a busted coverage and a touchdown. Darrell Young, the fullback, slips out of the backfield. 20-yard touchdown, and the Redskins strike first.
7-0. The next Washington drive, a three and out, a punt with the Jags. Just couldn't get anything done, three and out. The ensuing drive after that, 7 plays, 66 yards. Here's Alfred Morris from a yard away.
Jags have stacked the line of scrimmage. They give it to Morris again. This time he'll walk in. Touchdown, Redskins.
14-0. Jags three and out. There was another sack on the next drive. Set up another drive for Washington. Started from their own 8. They go 92 yards in 10 plays. Morris again from 1 yard.
They give it to Morris. There's a flag now. That flag is thrown to the backfield. That could be holding. That could help the cause. It's a touchdown if it stands, but let's see what the flag's about.
Yeah, it's a hold.
Oh, it's going to be. They pointed to the Jaguars, though. This may be a touchdown.
Oh, yep.
That's a touchdown. They called holding on the defense on the running play. You've seen that more in the last few years. Declined and a touchdown for Morris.
21-0. The hold was on Roy Miller. Didn't matter. Jags unable to do anything. They fall to 0-5 on third downs on the next drive. They did get their first down of the game, though. It was an issue. Three and out next drive. But then the Jags set up. It was Henning was sacked on this drive. Their final drive of the first half. 5 plays, 71 yards, but 63 of those yards on one throw to Mercedes Lewis.
Bunch formation to the right. Now Mercedes Lewis splits far right. Shotgun, straight drop. Fires out to the right. Once Mercedes Lewis. Mercedes has it. He's on his feet. Mercedes inside the 20-yard line. Mercedes inside the 10-yard line. Mercedes inside the 5. Will they call it a touchdown? Yes, they will. Handing to Mercedes Lewis, and the Jags are on the board.
That's the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. 21-7, the halftime score. Forbeth came on and hit a 35-yard field goal for Washington early in the third quarter, 24-7. Later, another 65-yard drive, 11 plays, just methodically moving down the field. Cousins found his favorite target on the day, Paul, for a 2-yard touchdown.
Morris, the running back. Now Paul stretches out to the right. And they're going to look to throw it to Niles Paul in the corner of the end zone. Covered by Chris Pruszynski. Didn't matter. Touchdown, Redskins.
31-7. Another field goal from 42 yards would make it 34-7. Scobie hit a 36-yarder. Made it 34-10. Silas Red, the rookie, was at Penn State, then at USC. Now he's with the Redskins. He scores to finish the scoring today for Washington.
We'll see. Pistol formation. And they do run it with Red. He picks his way. Oh, he made a man miss to the 10-yard line, to the 5-yard line. He reversed his field. That's going to be a touchdown for the Redskins. They did not kick the field goal. They ran an off-tackle play. And Red made a cut back and turned it into a 14-yard touchdown run.
That was on a fourth down play when it appeared the Redskins were just going to at least run, maybe run out the clock if they got the first down. Instead, they got the touchdown. That was the scoring today, 41-10, all Redskins all day long. Come protect the bank next week. Jags need you. They'll host the Colts 1 o'clock. Got to be here for the home opener and the best game day experience in the National Football League and the world's largest video boards. Tickets going fast. Get yours today at Jaguars.com. When we return on Jaguars postgame and Everbank stats check, it's not pretty. We'll be quite honest with you. Fred Taylor will be back with us as well. 41-10, the final score. Redskins over the Jags. We're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah and Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
41-10, final score, Redskins over the Jags in Week 2. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville, on the phone from Weston, Florida. Fred Taylor, the Pride of the Jaguars running back, is with us. It's time now for our Everbank final stats check. Fred, let's go through these again. Get ready. Yeah. Total yards, 449 to 148. That won't work. Rushing yards, 191 to 25. Passing net yardage, 258 to 123. The Jags quarterback was sacked 10 times, Washington 3 times. Jags were 3 of 13 on third downs, 6 of 14 for Washington. First down plays, 32 for Washington, 8 for Jacksonville, and a time of possession of 39 to 21. Fred, that's not going to get it done.
Wow. Hey, that's not going to get it done in any league. It doesn't matter who's out there. Could you read back the first down stat? I want to make sure the people hear it, because that's one of the biggest stats right there, in my opinion.
32-8.
Wow. That's JP, listen, the thing is, those first downs, man, it just really shows that we didn't get off the field. Defense was on the field entirely too long. I think Washington ran 81 plays of offense. So, in my opinion, what I firmly believe is that when those guys are just out there and they're out there and they're just running around, the defense is tired. They're fatigued. They're tired. No, now you're talking about physically you're wearing down, mentally you're wearing down. It actually promotes mental errors. Guys are out of position. And Washington was just very balanced today, and they were just hitting us with chunks. 20 here, 14 here, 12 here, 14, 20 here, a couple chunks here and there. And really that's where those first downs came from, whereas we weren't able to establish anything. You know, third downs, it was misfire. We couldn't get anything going, no rhythm whatsoever. Again, I mentioned a second ago, I thought the tone of the game, at the beginning of the game, we came out firing away. You know, and for me, that just doesn't work. But I'm sure Coach Fish and the offensive guys, they're going to go back and look at what they can do better to try and make this thing work, because what we saw today, none of that is going to work.
Yeah, guys, you look at the first down or the third down numbers for Washington, they're not spectacular, but they made so many first downs on first and second down, it didn't really matter.
Exactly.
It didn't come down to third down conversions, yep. Fred. You almost feel that this team, they gave Toby Gerhart 7 carries in this football game, and outside of Chad Henne scrambles, those were the only runs in the entire game for the Jags, Fred. You almost feel like even if they're not successful, it feeds into what you're saying. You have to try it, because your defense is out there for 40 minutes today, and you've got to do something to possess the ball a little bit longer.
Yeah, you want to try to go out there and try and, for as long as you can, to be patient and be honest. But you start the game off with a few passes. You know, I get that. You know, I understand that. I've been in several ball games where I was like, Coach, when are we going to put it on the ground? Passing is not going to work. But sometimes that tends to set the tone. Now your linemen, they're prepared to be light all day. And it seemed to me that we were pretty light all day as Washington was pushing our pocket. But yet you still have to try and force the issue to try to get those things going, or at least worst case, you know, not give the defensive coordinator, you know, pretty much your playbook. He's going to think you're going to just pass it all game. So you want to try and be patient and mix it up. But when you're not getting those results, it's going to force your hand. You know, you're going to get anxious and a little bit over anxious. You're going to throw balls from positions in the field that you shouldn't throw attempt passes from, because you hadn't set those passes and those opportunities up. And I saw a lot of that today, where because of the lack of run game, we were forced to try and throw the ball, and we couldn't protect it. And hence, Henne sacked 10 times, hurry 5, knocked down 5. And that's not good.
We saw Allen Hurns break out last week in his first game as a pro, Fred. 4 catches for 110 yards and the 2 touchdowns. He dropped that one early that, who knows, maybe it goes the distance, and at least in the early part of the game, maybe the tone is different. He's out there on the field. The Jags are clearly, the game is over. And I know a lot of the fan reaction on social media has already been, why are you putting these guys in jeopardy? The game's over. Hand it off. Get this game over with. Allen Hurns gets hurt, hurts his ankle. We don't know the extent of it. As a player, what is your feeling when you're down in that point in the football game? Do you fight just to show you've got fight to the final whistle, or do sometimes you have to just take your beating and go home?
You know, the Hearns injury, I looked at it. You know, you hate to see it happen. Quite naturally, he's a young guy who he's still young. He's a very young player. You need the reps. You know, as an offense, you want to show that, hey, we're not going to quit. whether it's by running the ball or passing the ball. And this is the NFL, and I have my share of injuries, and they're very unfortunate, but we play a very, very physical game, and freak things happen. So it's unfortunate. You hate to see it, but again, the collision there in that play, it just showed you what Washington came to do today. That was a physical collision. Now, they didn't let up. They played to the whistle. Like Coach Bowden used to say in Florida State, and you hated it, we're going to play through the echo of the whistle. And on that play, that's what those guys defending did. That was the tone they played with throughout the day. Very physical, very all over the ball. And again, you hate to see Allen go down right there. Hopefully he's fine. But Washington came to play ball today.
Fred Taylor, we'll be back with you in just a moment. Plenty left to get to on Jaguars postgame. Some scores around the National Football League coming up. A Baptist Health injury report as well. Unhappy final today. 41-10. The final score, the Redskins over the Jaguars. And more Jaguars postgame after these words on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. A 41-10 final. Redskins over the Jags in week two. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor will be back with us in just a moment. Let's look at some scores from around the National Football League in Week 2. A few games active now. Early second quarter, Texans lead the Raiders 14-0. J.J. Watt had a touchdown reception in this game for the Texans. How about that on a short yardage situation? Chargers lead the Seahawks 13-7. That's late second quarter. They're early in the second. Jets over the Packers 14-3. Broncos lead the Chiefs 7-3. That's early second quarter. Delayed 7-7 score. Rams at the Bucks. I'm going to guess it's weather. Bills beat the Dolphins 29-10. A big day for Watkins. 117 yards receiving and a touchdown. The Cowboys come through with a big win. 26-10 in Tennessee against the Titans. Romo didn't really light it up today. Murray had a huge day on the ground. 167 yards on 29 carries and a touchdown. The Cardinals beat the Giants 25-14. Stanton steps in. 167 yards passing, but they got it done other ways today. A kickoff return late as well for Ted Ginn Jr. Patriots scored 30 unanswered points. They beat the Vikings 30-7. The Browns with a late field goal, a huge upset over the Saints 26-24. The Saints are 0-2. The Browns are now 1-1 with a big win at home. The Bengals beat the Falcons 24-10. Panthers overcome Hardy being inactive today, and they beat the Lions 24-7. That's a look around the National Football League in Week 2. When we come back, Fred Taylor is back with us. The Baptist Health injury report as well. A couple of injuries of note for the Jags today, and a 41-10 loss to the Washington Redskins. Back with more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Final score from FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. All Redskins all day, 41-10 over the Jaguars. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor on the phone line from Weston, Florida. It's time for an injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Well, a high ankle sprain for Mercedes Lewis. You heard that from Gus Bradley in the postgame interview. And, boy, who knows how long that's going to take. That's bad news for a group that has a lot of youth at wide receiver. They needed a guy to kind of go to, and he had the long touchdown today, certainly. High ankle sprain is never good, and certainly with a guy of that importance.
Typically not a short-term deal either. You can expect, Fred, at least next week. Who knows what beyond that. And I mean, they don't have much. That's one of their thinnest positions on the team as it is.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It depends on the severity of it. I had one up in New England. I missed 10 games, and I fought as hard as I can to try to I fought as hard as I could at the time to try and get back, and still I missed 10 games in the process. So some can require surgery, some can require walking. Mercedes is the captain. You know, here we're talking about trying to get the run game back, or get the run game going, I should say. And he's a big component of that.
Yep.
You know, having to secure the edge, and you know, he's blocked for me for years, and he gets it done. I love what he does in the run game. He gets it done, so you know, hopefully it's not too bad, and they can get him back out there in, you know, 3-4 weeks or so. But it's definitely a blow to the offense, man. No matter how you look up the leadership, the running blocking ability. So hopefully we get him back.
Alan Hearns was the other injury on the one of the last plays of the game. We're told it's an ankle injury of some kind. Don't know the severity of it yet. Gus Bradley was waiting for the x-ray. Haven't seen any reporting on that. But I know this is going to be a topic all week, Fred, so I'll ask you first. Was it the decision to keep playing at that moment? Is that something that's going to be looked upon with this Hearns injury, or is it just football being football?
Yeah, I got to look at it as football being football. There are plenty of times we got our butts handed to us. You know, if you go back and look at what Henny said today, we got a beating. I wrote that down as his quote, got a beating. And there have been plenty of times that happened. I'm like, man, can we go out the game now? But you have to play. You have to finish. And Allen is a young guy. He needs to rep. I'm sure he loved being out there, you know, at that time. Being in the NFL, one of his dreams, as he said it. So something happens. It's a freak accident.
Redskins had a couple of notable injuries today. Certainly Robert Griffin III with a dislocated ankle. Not sure how long that'll take. Didn't look good at all on television, no doubt. Jackson, the wide receiver, an AC sprain. And those are the injuries. The Baptist Health System Injury Report, changing health care for good. When we return, the final segment of Jaguars postgame. Final thoughts from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as the Jags fall 41-10 to the Washington Redskins in Week 2. We'll preview next week's game as well. Jags and Colts, the home opener, coming up a week from today. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. Final score in Washington. Redskins 41, Jaguars 10. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor on the phone line for the final segment. You know, let's get some final thoughts on this one, Fred. Yes, you can talk about the offense and the lack of offense, I guess, today. The running game was not there. Couldn't set up anything offensively. Three and outs, no third downs, this and that. But at some point, you got to stop the other team, too, Fred. And the defense is just as much to blame today.
You know, they say defense win championships, man. I don't think you should start a season, you know, giving them 55 unanswered points. You know, in the preseason, a few shows we did there in the preseason, we spoke so highly of the defense. I really thought the defense was going to be the bright spot to the season to allow the offense to take their time to come around. And unfortunately, the defense, they hadn't been that group that we all want to see, and definitely not the group that Gus, Coach Bradley would like to see. Definitely what his resume is all about, defense. So we have to get better in the red zone. You know, obviously we have to get better getting off the field on third downs, as well as being opportunistic. We have to find a way to create turnovers. You know, we create the pressure. That pressure should equate to turnovers. Those sack fumbles like a week ago, but yet capitalize on those turnovers. So as a group, we all need to get better, but I really think in order to give ourselves that chance, the defense has to perform much, much, much better.
Fred, I know they want to get pressure with the front four, but they had three sacks today, the Jags defense did, and by my count, two of those were when they sent the absolute house. Do they just need to be more aggressive? Because what they're doing right now, they're still giving up plenty of points. Do they need to just kind of throw caution to the wind and do what you're saying, try to create those turnovers maybe by blitzing a little bit more?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes with field position. You know, you don't just want to run out there happy-go-lucky and send this guy, send that guy. Obviously, the other team, you know, they have film. They're going to study. They understand, you know, certain formations. You're going to run certain blitz schemes. And they're going to dial things up to pretty much lull you into setting up your defense so they can block it up and attempt a big play. So you have to be, you know, pretty cautious and certain aggression, yet you still want to be aggressive when time allows it to be aggressive. That way you won't have games where tight ends are having stats. You know, a guy like Niles right there to have a stat 9 for or 99 yards and a touchdown on 8 catches. You know, that's just saying we're sitting back a little bit much. So you want to be able to get there, hit them quick, make them throw the short passes, but you have to tackle. Something that we still hadn't done well yet this year. So if you're going to be aggressive, you want to make sure you're coming up making the tackles.
offensively next week when they take on Indy. Let's assume that they don't have Mercedes Lewis and Allen Hurns. We don't know if they'll have Hurns or not, but maybe they get Cecil Shorts back, Fred, but you're going to be in a situation again. We talked about that line hasn't either pass protected or open holes in the running game. How do you game plan? What do you want to come out and see this team do next week to try to get on the board early?
Yeah, I think when you script the top 15, of those top 15s, you know, I want to see 60% leaning towards the run game. You still have a coach defense who isn't always known for stopping the run. So you want to go out there and make sure you pay some attention to the run game, because you want to try and establish it. These guys up front, you want to tell them all, we have to get some push up front. And then that way we can call every other play in our playbook. Now, I know Coach Fish, he wants to call the play action. He wants to call the rollouts, those rollouts we saw all preseason. But if you cannot establish the run game, you can forget about even going anywhere in your playbook, because your third downs are going to always be dropbacks as opposed to, you know, second it or third and inches. You know, let's try and draw them in and go for the big one. So until we can establish that run, you know, you won't see anything pretty from the offense.
Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor on the phone line with us. Fred, we'll see you in person next week. Well done, as always.
All right, JP. All right, Mike. Yeah, it's been real, man. Got to win these games, man.
Let's get better this week.
Bring some W's from Weston when you come up next week.
How about get better on three, right?
There you go. Thank you, Fred.
We'll talk to you soon. Fred Taylor joining us from Weston.
Right, how's it going, guys?
Weston, Florida tonight. Not much you can say. I mean, 41-10, domination from the beginning. Jags offense couldn't do it. Defense couldn't do it. And this was one of those days.
I don't know what, you know, and boy, when you say as a player in the locker room, I don't know what else you're supposed to say, but everyone needs to look at themselves individually and get better for this team to get better. Well, JP, that's a laundry list this week, because there's really no standout player in this football game today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's a lot of getting better to do before Indianapolis comes calling next week.
We'll leave you with these. The 10 sacks allowed, of course, the most allowed in franchise history. Tied for the third highest total allowed in league history, by the way. The league record is 12, five different times. A number of teams, about 15 or 20 teams, have allowed 11 sacks in a game. It's been a while since that happened. 10, though, ties for the third most allowed in league history, but the most in Jaguars history. Also, the 25 rushing yards for the Jaguars, the second lowest in a single game in franchise history. Back in October of 05 against Denver, the Jags rushed for 12 yards in that game, 25 today. That's not going to get it done. Lots of improvement to go around this week. Hey, we'll talk to you next week. Well done. I know you, you're excited for all the programming here in Jacksonville this week, all the phone calls.
Are you kidding me? I have a feeling I know what the theme will be, and I really don't blame anybody for bringing it up.
Well, the Scoreboard Show is next for those locally in Jacksonville. If you're outside of the area, 1-800-355-NFL1, you can get in there. Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Jaguars Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. The final score, Redskins 41, Jaguars 10. Local programming next on the Jaguars Radio Network.